It's exciting to see everyone coming back from the holiday break. We're grateful for your being with us. We have some exciting things coming up this next weekend. Our student study, which was started by our students about 3 years ago, has been something that has been a wonderful opportunity. Last year we had about 120 high school, college students, many from out of town that came. We don't have a formal invitation in the back for the student study, but it was last few years it's been done by Facebook, and it seems like we've got all kinds of people that come to that, and I think we're probably up to about 110 that say they're coming, and I wouldn't be surprised for us to see between 150 and 200 potentially that will come to these studies. They're going to be primarily led by our students and some other students from Atlanta and other places. And Bob Buchanan will finish up that study on Saturday. Now, everybody's invited. We may have to move it in here this year, it looks like. We'll try to pack everybody in like sardines back there in the back area. But that'll be on Friday and Saturday, and then we begin our meeting with Brother Buchanan on Sunday, going on through Wednesday. And Brother Buchanan has been a man that many have known. I've known him for years and have appreciated his work that he's done, particularly overseas. But a wonderful man, a man who has impacted many of our young people here as well as in other places. We're thankful for that. Let's talk this morning about the mind of Christ. Really, if you wanted to define what a Christian is, we are a reflection of the mind of Christ, hopefully, ideally, our goal. But that's a huge challenge. We talk about something like that. I want to particularly talk this morning about the mind of Christ toward the lost. The mind of Christ is not like a, you know, cafeteria where you kind of, okay, I want a little bit of this of the mind of Christ, but none of this. But if you're going to have the mind of Christ, you get the mind of Christ. And I want to talk about the lost because I want to tell you, this particular congregation probably has been given more doors of opportunity, and we're probably in, I think, one of the most critical places we could be in to open doors to let others know the Lord. There's just something about particularly the distribution of young people we have. Is that really, you know, at that age, people are more pliable to open up and think about the Lord. Let's talk about Jesus. The mind of Christ. How do I know the mind of Christ? Well, let's just look at his ministry. You know, when Jesus came to this world, he saw the world very differently than men saw it. Because he came from heaven. I'm going to tell you something. I know there's beautiful things about this world because it's God's creation, but somehow, as Jesus talked in John 17, how he was there in the creation of the universe, he came from heaven, you know, this world couldn't be too impressive to him when he came looking back to heaven. And he knows where things are going. And one of the interesting things that Jesus would throw in discussions in his ministry is that, look, I came from God. I have seen heaven. John 8:38, I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your Father. John 14, in verse 2, he's trying to encourage his disciples. He's trying to tell them he's leaving, and it's kind of going over their head. And one of the things he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus looked at this world different because he came from heaven. He went back to heaven, and he knows the destiny. There's something about seeing life as Jesus does that changes us if we maintain that mind. And so when Jesus saw this world, he looked at it very differently. You know, when I look at it, and I just think of what I've always seen. I like peace. We live in a place of prosperity. People are nice. We live in a place where people aren't trying to kill us. And we kind of think in terms of what we have seen. But Jesus saw the things. If you go to the scripture, and I didn't include the passages in Ephesians and other passages, that we are in a spiritual battlefield. And if we could look out into the world, and I was listening to a preacher just the other day, on my bike ride talking about evangelism, and he says, you know, if we could just look at the people every day and think in terms, are they lost or are they saved? It'll change your day. It may stir you up, and it may be painful to you. But you see, if you begin to have the mind of Christ, you begin to see people brought in bondage, people with no hope, you see the love of God, you see heaven, you see, it changes how we look at everything. You see, Jesus looked to the eternal destiny of others, and that was his priority. You know, how do we go about having the mind of Christ? When we look at Jesus, I'm hoping we would think, can I think like Jesus? Can I take my everyday life and be like him? Let's talk about it. I know when it comes to evangelism, sometimes people get scared and they want to run from that. No, here's what I'm going to tell you. The mind of Christ. If we can have the mind of Christ, I'm going to suggest to you this morning, I'm not coming up to you with some kind of series of lessons of what you present or what you do. I'm talking about a heart of love. I'm talking about simply seeing this world as Jesus does, so we can let that mind be seen in our lives. And so as we talk about the lost, let's go into the life of Christ if we could. I read here. Philippians 2, when you begin to see this world as Jesus does, there's no price too high to pay to help another come and know Jesus. Why did Jesus go to the cross? He saw us. He saw us and knew that we needed forgiveness. We needed a way to be reconciled to God. Notice, here's the mind of Christ. This mind is to be in you and me. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. The first thing that the mind of Christ is going to do is going to strip me from everything. We battle with pride. It would be one of the biggest struggles that I'll have faced as a Christian. There are times, you know, I want my stuff and my things. I want people to think well of me. I've got my time. I'm busy. If you're a bondservant, you don't have any time. You're a slave. Jesus willingly became a bondservant. He gave up heaven. Why does the Lord ask you to give up? Why does the Lord ask them? He says, look, let me just give your whole self up and let my mind be in you, and you're glad to serve. You're not so filled with bitterness and how people hurt you, and you're getting all that junk out of your life, and you're thinking about heaven, and you're thinking about helping others go to heaven. That's the mind of Christ. I'm glad the body of Christ was in the body of Christ. I'm glad of that. That provided the cross. That's how we got the cross. What is discipleship? Do I need to quote to you Luke 9:23? Where Jesus says, if any man wants to follow me, let him take up his cross and deny himself. You know, becoming a Christian is not joining a club. It's not like, okay, I've got this club and I'll have attendance at this time and I'll give a little bit of membership dues. Being a Christian is a total commitment to be like Christ. And you cannot possibly touch the mind of Christ without thinking of others. Out of yourself, looking at others. Greatest gift you could give to another person is to help them learn how to die. To die with the Lord. To be raised. You see, it's not just the club. But again, I'll tell you, brother. Wow. You know, we've been blessed. Good to see Caleb George back with us. He's been spent several weeks in Guatemala. I'm anxious to hear the stories and accounts. And just like our young men that went to the Philippines this last year. There's something about going overseas, and I've never done it, by the way. Maybe one day I will. But there's people that come back from there to say, man, we are so blessed. We're just so rich. And just saying, what lasts? What matters? You know, when you look at Jesus, he gave up heaven. He wanted the salvation of men. That was the thing. I don't worry about my rights. Let me give up my rights. What was the mind of Christ toward the lost? I like Matthew chapter 9. Again, brother, I'm not telling you today, I'm not telling you to come up with some great presentation and to learn great abilities of persuasion. I'm not telling you here today that you've got to go to this program, A, B, C, D, and do all these things. Here, what I'm telling you today, every one of us can do and have. That's my purpose. And the mind of Christ will see and have compassion and want to serve. And I'm going to tell you, you got those things, you're going to find a way within the abilities God's given you to be able to do what God has given you to do. I'm not talking about preaching. I'm talking about the mind of Christ. Look at this. If those of you who've got a regular, have a job and regular hours in a job and you got coworkers you get to know, how do you view them? Those of you who are in class, you see your professors. You see your friends. How do you view them? Here's what Jesus saw when he saw people. In Matthew 9:36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. Because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. So many people wear little masks and we're happy. Everything's good. And they're not good. Jesus saw that. Verse 37. Then he said to his disciples. Now notice here. Jesus wanted the mind that he had to be in his disciples. The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Did you pray that this morning? I didn't. I need to pray that. I need to have the mind of Christ in my life. I need to let the thing that is most important to me to help as many people join in that path to go to heaven as possible. All I'm asking this morning, all the Lord is asking is to have that mind. How that's going to translate in what you do is going to be something else. Do we think this way? Ah, let's be like the Lord. And you know, one of the things you're going to do, understand, when you think of somebody who is lost, you then begin to think of, okay, what can I do? You know, you pray for doors. I used to in my youthfulness and exuberance, and this is not necessarily bad, but it wasn't always wise. Sometimes I tried to break doors down, you know, I'm going to come and talk to you, you know, and probably wasn't the most wise thing to do, and I still need wisdom. We all need wisdom here. But notice how Jesus was criticized. Why was he criticized? Listen to this. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man received sinners and eats with them. Now let me tell you what he wasn't doing. I remember hearing one person, I think it was very flippant, if not disrespectful. Some people said, oh, Jesus was a party animal. No, he wasn't a party animal. Jesus did things with other people not just to go join them in that which was wrong and pat them on the back and say, you're okay, I'm okay. No. The idea of having, he was doing things with them to get to know them. And they knew Jesus cared. And these men knew that Jesus disagreed with their lives. He didn't go there to partake in their sin, but they were amazed. Just like Zacchaeus, where Jesus says, I'm coming to your house today. His jaw kind of drops figuratively. You're coming to my house? What I'm telling you is that when we have the mind of Christ and we see those who do not know him, we're going to try to make some connections. Now, I'll tell you my problem here. Sometimes it's so big. There's so many people. There's so many opportunities. And sometimes what happens is we see the opportunities in such a great way, we just collapse. We can't do it all. And you know what? We can't do it all. How about starting with one? What opportunities are being given to you in this area? You see, those who knew Jesus, if they would ask this question, what did Jesus think about the lost? Well, Jesus basically said what he thought about the lost. He says, for the Son of Man has come. That's his life. He has come to seek and save that which was lost. There should be nothing that produces more passion in every person who has the mind of Christ than the idea of reaching another person. We have the mind of Christ. And I will tell you, that's a challenge. I don't always think that way. I have my own responsibilities and you have your own obligations and we have family responsibilities. Other, and by the way, I want to say this. In having the mind of Christ, building up other Christians falls under the same category as far as I'm concerned as evangelism. I mean, they all are critical. And so I'm not saying that, you know, you've got to exclusively go out here and seek lost to be doing the Lord's will. But I'm saying the mind of Christ thinks about eternity. Reaching others, preparing others. It's so easy to go through a day and not even think about it. And that's the challenge of the lesson. And so, how might God use our abilities? I want to show you some things now, if I could. Let me think about the purpose of our life. If we begin, I'll tell you something. You get passionate about something. It's just interesting how doors open up. And could I say again to the students, bye. There's a great opportunity right now. Invite others to these Colossians studies. You'll say, well, here somebody may come and they don't even know what the Bible is. Let them come. They may see some people who care about them. They may see some people excited about the Word of God. It's fascinating how, you know, sometimes we think you can't speak on this if we've got a visitor. And you can't do this. It's interesting. Just teach the Word of God. And you might be fascinated the doors have opened. I'll tell you, we've got some real opportunities here. Let's take advantage of it. Now, let me make a point, and I want to make this as strongly as I can. Everyone who has the mind of Christ, regardless of ability, education, health, nationality, ethnicity, anything you want to say, regardless, particularly of ability, God can use you effectively. One of the most amazing accounts in the life of Christ is about a man that the Bible describes in Mark 5 of having an unclean spirit. Matter of fact, it was so bad in verse 3, it says he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. Because he had been bound with shackles and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. Here's a man who had quite a reputation. He liked to live with dead people. And people couldn't have anything to do with him. They sent strong men there and had to fight him, and they would chain him, and the chains wouldn't hold. Now, the Bible doesn't say a lot about his background, but I don't think he would be the local Bible class teacher or something like that. You know, I don't think this guy is going to have a great knowledge, but the Bible doesn't tell us. But I know this one thing is true: he had worse reputation than his apostle. And the first person that meets Jesus when he comes and gets off the boat, going into a new region, people that didn't know who Jesus was. First guy that comes to Jesus is this guy. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. You know what Jesus did? He healed him. He cast out the demon. And so the people come and they, here's this guy that was naked and in the tombs and cutting himself and crying out and crazy guy. He's sitting next to Jesus, seems to be part of, kind of liking Jesus. Notice the reaction of the people, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told him how it happened to him who had been demon possessed and about the swine. And then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. Oh, well, I guess an evangelistic opportunity lost. The first time they see Jesus, they're going, please leave. Go. I guess you're right off this region, don't you? Verse 18, here's this man, this is his home, and he spent all this time in the tombs. And verse 18 says, when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. And I would say, what you need to do, Jesus, take this man, teach him, instruct him, help him, and then one day he might be a teacher. This is not what Jesus did. What Jesus did is one of the more amazing accounts in Scripture. Hear this man, let me go with you. Verse 19. He doesn't let this man go be with him. He only just an hour or so earlier, a few hours earlier or less, he had been possessed with this legion of demons. And Jesus tells him to do this. Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how He has had compassion on you. I ask every one of you this morning, cannot you and I do this? Now, maybe if the Lord's never done anything for you, then maybe, okay, you don't really know what the Lord's done. You're not a Christian, I'm sure, if you say that. But if you're a Christian, can't we just be filled to the brim of the things the Lord has done for us? And can't we be known for that? Not about fussing and griping, but the Lord's what He's done for us. Here, He told him to do this. Now let me ask you this question. Did it do any good? Brethren, let me say again. If you got the mind of Christ, this is real simple. If you've got the mind of Christ, you are thankful. If you've got the mind of Christ, you understand what you've been forgiven of. You understand the cross. You understand heaven and hell. You understand the continual blessings of God. It ought to fill you up. Just tell others about it. And so that's what this man did. In verse 20 it says, he departed and began to proclaim to the capitalists all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. And by the way, Jesus came back. Remember this group of people who said, leave now? Now here's this man, he'd been doing all this talking. In verse 40 of Luke 8, it says, so it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him. For they were all waiting for him. I will say again, if we would do this simple thing, know where we stand with the Lord, love Him and talk about Him, it would be incredible to see the doors that will be open for us. You see, the mind of Christ is a mind of love. A great illustration of this could be found in the Old Testament. There was a terrible famine Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, had a besiege of Samaria, and it's pretty bad. And when you siege a city, you cut off the food, and the food runs out. Have you ever been hungry? I've never been hungry. Matter of fact, unfortunately, my clothes are hardly fitting right now. Maybe got to work on that, but I've never been hungry. These people. Verse 25, it says, there was a great famine in Samaria. Indeed, they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver, and 1/4 of a calf of dove droppings for 5 shekels of silver. I tell you, it's a terrible, terrible thing to go through the siege. And during this siege, there were some men that they were starving, and they were lepers. They were lepers. They couldn't even go into the city. And they got so hungry and desperate, they didn't care anymore whether or not they lived or died. And they decided, we're going to go to the enemy's camp. In the middle of verse 4 it says, if we say we'll enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore, come and let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall only die. They were hungry, they were desperate, and they had no answers. And they came to the camp of the Syrians, and the army was gone. God basically caused them in fear to flee. And they came into a camp that had provisions for 200,000 men. Here they were hungry. Next thing you know, this is what they did. And when the lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent, ate and drank, and they carried them silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. And they came back and entered another tent and carried some of their ramazo and went and hid it. And they ate, and it was incredible. Good news, blessings beyond anything they could even grasp. But here these men knew something was wrong. Because they had come from a city that didn't know that these provisions were here. They were going to die. They were going to starve. And these lepers, they just had the basic decency to know this. When they said to one another, "We are not doing right, this day is a day of good news," and we remain silent. "If we wait till morning light, some punishment will come upon us now. Now therefore come and let us go and tell the king's household." And they did. Mind of Christ is a mind of love. A mind of Christ certainly enjoys the blessings of God, but just by the very nature, the decency, "I want others to have this." Brethren, there's a greater famine today, and I recognize that in the spiritual famine that not everybody recognizes. They're in a famine. But in Romans 1:16, Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Tell the story. Care about others. Help them. Let's draw one more point and then the lesson will be yours. Brethren, I don't want evangelism to be a guilt trip. I used to teach evangelism seminars for weekends, and we'd talk about techniques and how to, and that's a good thing to do. There's a good value in that. But ultimately, really, evangelism, I've come to learn, comes from people, from Christians who know their Lord and love Him, who are already just seeking to serve, and they find their joy in service. You know, in becoming a disciple, Luke 14 is filled with parables where Jesus talked about discipleship. Verse 33 concludes, you know, "Whoever you does not, you know, give up all that he has cannot be my disciple." But look at verse 28. You want to be his disciple, you've got to have the mind of Christ. It can't be a little bit of the mind of Christ. It can't be occasional Sunday stroll with Jesus. Luke 14, 28. "For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" Have you become a disciple? Then you ought to be glad to commit whatever it takes. I've been thinking about writing an article and suggesting that Christians consider moving to other cities for the gospel's sake. I said, "Well, that's what preachers do." And preachers do that, and that's a wonderful thing. I'm glad that I've been able to have at times the financial support to do that. We've had men that go overseas and do things. But I'm talking about Christians considering, and some of you young people, as you're considering your future, your life, consider maybe going places where the gospel is needed. Is that too radical to ask? I've known of churches that have done that. I've known of churches that basically, from the south, they had a whole group of families go up north, and they planted a church in a location. They were able to have, they had the education, the jobs to be able to do that. I'm not saying you've got to do that, but I'm saying here's what you want to be. You want the gospel to spread. No cost is too much. The one thing that I know, that there were times Christians had to move. You think about this. These Christians in the early church had the mind of Christ. Persecution came up on them, and notice what happened. In Acts 8 and verse 3, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house, dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered had to find jobs, had to find employment, had to find homes, and they were silent." That's not what it says. They did have to find jobs and homes, by the way. They did not do that. "Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." Again, the idea of preaching here, it's just natural. You got to have to do business. You got to buy things with others. You work with others. You associate with others. We do things with other people, and we have opportunities to talk about the Lord. And we're glad to do it. Then we're going to be considered weird. And there are going to be people that won't like it. There will be a few that will say, "Tell us more." You see, we counted the cost. My relationship's going to be messed up because of talk about the Lord, but there will be other relationships that are given. I've counted the cost. And it's not hard. I'm thankful for it. Let me tell you, on the other hand, Satan doesn't quit. If our mouths are silent, we are pulling back from a spiritual warfare where our enemy doesn't quit. I've heard of some football coaches that have been highly successful, that one of the things they tell their players is that we want you to play physical, we want you to play hard, we want you to play every down, and we want you to make you're the one that's against you quit. I don't know, there's a guy that's kind of gets me angry. He wants to make me quit. I'm not going to quit. Well, you know, we're talking about carnal competition here, but let me tell you about Satan. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's not going to quit. I want to be a tool in the hand of the Lord. And you see, as I look at eternity, and I recognize here, there is a joy part, there is salvation, there is the blessings of Christ, but there's also a terror part. Now, I have to tell you, brethren, I've got a long ways to go in my own mind to get this in my thinking, because I don't like to think about this. I like to think of my neighbors as good people. Hey, how you doing? And go on and not think about it. But here's what the Lord tells me. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Mind of Christ gives me urgency. And so again, I'm trying to go between, I don't want your evangelism to be a guilt trip. I got to do it. I'm a bad person. Let me go evangelize. I hope I'm not creating that mind in you today. I want you to be able to talk with others because you love the Lord and you see eternity and you know where you stand. And this is a great thing for Christians to have, other people to become Christians. But I don't want you to lose your urgency. There's an illustration that I have in the outline. I'll just read it to you. There's an ancient story about three demons who were arguing over the best way to destroy the Christian mission in the world. The first demon says, let's tell all the Christians there is no heaven. Take away the reward incentive and the mission will collapse. The second demon says, let's tell all the Christians there is no hell. Take away the fear of punishment and the mission will collapse. The third demon says, there's one better way. Let's tell all the Christians that there is no hurry. And all three immediately said, that's it. It's interesting how we think about talking with others someday that eventually becomes no day at all. One of the things about our Lord is that He's going to open doors for us. I want to go back here. It is almost a rare occasion for us not to have a new face walk into our service, almost every service. And certainly I know those of you, we've got other opportunities. We're going to be starting back the Truth Seekers class on campus. Great opportunities to invite people. We've got the meeting coming up. We've got the Colossians study coming up. We have the student devotionals. We have other kind of classes. There's so many ways you can just, hey, I'm going to this. I'm enjoying this. Come be with me. And people are coming. People are showing interest. When somebody walks in this door, they're saying, I'm interested. And who knows, in all the opportunities you had in your life, let's think about this. And one thing our God will do is fascinating. I talk with other members here. I'm going, well, we're seeing more people come and we're seeing more people visit, and I'm sure the Lord must believe we can take advantage of those doors. There are times I feel guilty when I think about, wow, here, we can't take care of everything. We need everybody thinking these ways. The Lord opens doors. Here Paul said in Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, says, meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. You got the mind of Christ? This is your passion. That was the Lord's. You start praying for opportunities, you might have to pray and duck, so to speak. You may get, like I say, more opportunities than you think you can handle. I urge us that we go forward is just simply love the Lord, talk about it. And we talk about an online identity. You know, I guess today we got Facebook and other kind of things. And you know what? I'm not telling you to make this a farce, but I'm saying be genuine. Talk about the Lord. Find ways to share with others the great things that He has done for you. I want to conclude with Malachi 3. This is a beautiful verse where, you know, it's a difficult time for the people of God. Malachi talks about a time where people of God are indifferent, and really the number of people amongst the people of God really were small, that really had it together. But the Lord knew those who had His mind. In Malachi 3 and verse 16 it says, "And those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and meditate on His name." Now listen to what the Lord said about these people. "They shall be mine." The Lord's saying, "I want you." Talk about me. It's one thing when you're passionate about this. What do? You find other people who are passionate about it. And you talk about those things and you're so happy about those things. He says, "They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. On that day I will make them my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him." You see, that's what we're talking about in the mind of Christ. Being with others, talking about the Lord. And one day God says, "Buddy, I'm going to have you like a precious jewel. You excite me. You, I am thankful for." The God of heaven is saying this. Let us be challenged this morning by the mind of Christ. I look at this and again I say, wow. A lot to go, a lot to learn. But let this day be the day where my life can be a light to someone. If you want to get songbooks out, we want to now think about the invitation. You know, being a Christian is simply taking on the Lord. The Bible says we die with Him. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, we read about how, you know, the idea of a conversion is the idea of dying, that we are actually experiencing death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Everybody awake? Okay. We don't want to die right now, but at least not right. Okay. In another way we do. Okay. Let's extend the invitation to become one of the Lord's followers. Let us always be mindful of what He's done for us. Beautiful thing about dying with the Lord, when we were raised with Him, the Bible says we walk in newness of life. Our attitudes have changed, how we view everything has changed. Can we assist you? We're ready to help you this morning in any way we can. If you come, we stand and sing.
Let's see if it's long enough to turn it over 330, please.